This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. The Mariner S. Eccles Building on Constitution Avenue in Washington, D.C., the headquarters of the Federal Reserve, is busy today. Chair Yellen and the gang are in the middle of a two-day meeting, out of which absolutely nobody expects another interest rate increase. We are, however, going to pay real close attention to the Fed's statement tomorrow once they have wrapped things up. Tea leaf reading for the economically inclined, if you will. Mohamed El-Arian is one of those who's going to be paying close attention. He's a chief economic advisor at Allianz, which owns PIMCO, the giant bond fund which El-Arian used to run. He's also got a new book out. It's about central banks, the position they find themselves in now, and where things might go from here. It's called The Only Game in Town. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You paint a fairly grim picture in the preamble to this book. You basically say things are going to get better or they're going to stay the same and get worse, and we're not sure which one yet.
Yeah, the key issue is that the path we're on right now is not sustainable, that it will end. But it's not clear what comes after that. There's nothing predestined. It's up to choices that are made in the next few months and years.
And central banks, you say, just to rip off your title here, are the only game in town. They're the ones that are going to figure this out for us, or that are going to control it, I guess.
So the only game in town in the sense that by necessity and not by choice, they were forced to carry almost the entirety of the policy burden since the global financial crisis. The problem with that is they have imperfect tools. So the best they can do is buy time for our politicians to step up to the plate and to enable other agencies that can deal with the problems at hand. Unfortunately, the political system hasn't responded, so that the central banks are now carrying too much of the burden. And at a certain point, they risk going from being part of the solution to part of the problem. And that is a major threat right now for the global economy.
Okay, so you say one of the things you want to do is reject financial engineering as a growth strategy, right? Reject what the big banks have been doing, reject what the way we've been doing business in this global economy for years and years now. And my question then is this. You're a guy who can get Jamie Dimon at JPMorgan Chase or Lloyd Blankfein at Goldman Sachs on the phone, right? And you can call them up and say, hey, guys, come on. This is bad for everybody else. You're having a great time, but it's bad for everybody else. Do you see them saying, right, you know what, Mohamed, you're absolutely correct. We're going to change how we do things.
So I don't think it's up to Jamie Dimon or Lloyd Blankfein and Goldman Sachs. I think it's up to society. We made a mistake. We made a mistake 10 to 15 years ago when we fell in love with finance as a growth engine. We fell in love with this notion that finance was the next level of capitalism. It was agricultural, then industry, then manufacturing services. And if you're really lucky, you get to financial services. And you saw countries compete to be the financial center. And we lost sight of what basically is important for growth, and that is investing in people, investing in infrastructure. So our love affair with romance came to a crashing end. But we haven't got a substitute as yet. And the longer we wait, the greater the cost, not just to this generation's, but the next generation's as well.
All right, so let's take it. Let's take a different tack here. Chairman Bernanke used to say all the time when he was testifying and in front of Congress, he would say, fiscal policymakers need to do their thing. Legislatures need to do their part in this. And yet consistently, certainly in this country and in many others, national legislatures haven't. What do we do about that?
First, we need a wake-up call. I mean, part of the reason why I wrote this book is because I felt there was a need for a massive wake-up call. And it's reiterating not just what Chairman Bernanke said in what you just said, this about fiscal agencies, is about other agency. But remember, when they went unconventional for economic reasons, as opposed for market normalization reasons in 2010, mm-hmm. Chairman Bernanke said it's about, quote, benefits, costs, and risks. And the longer you persist in this world, the greater the threat that the benefits go down and the costs and risks go up. It's about collateral damage. And we are at that point right now. The benefits are small, but the collateral damage is getting bigger.
So let me try something before I let you go. We do a thing on the broadcast every now and then. I usually do it with CEOs, and I ask them to describe what their company does in five words or less. But recently I've taken to asking guests on this program what they think Janet Yellen is thinking in five words or less. So given the past 3 weeks in this economy, right, since the beginning of the year, what do we think Janet Yellen is thinking right now? Five words or less.
Cloudy outlook, data-dependent policy.
Data-dependent. That's the thing everybody always forgets with her. She always says data-dependent, right?
And she is data-dependent. And I think she's right. This is, to use another Bernanke phrase, an unusually uncertain outlook. Not just uncertain, unusually uncertain. So you've got to be open to all the incoming data, and you've got to continue to evolve your understanding of what's going on.
The new book from Mohamed El-Aryan is called The Only Game in Town. Mohamed, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you.